Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
How did a night out with friends turn into a deadly encounter for Kenya Monet? A chilling turn of events, Kenya vanished after accepting a ride from a stranger who seemed helpful. This stranger, Travis Forbes, would later confess to her brutal murder, revealing how he lured Kenya into his van and led her to her tragic fate. Join us as we uncover this horrifying case and details of Kenya's last moments and explore the evidence that exposed Forbes' twisted plans, leading to his conviction and a life sentence. What's up, true crime fans, and welcome to another episode of Murder Monday. Yes, I know it's a Tuesday. We're doing Murder Monday a little late. If you like our content, give us a thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button down below. You know that shiny subscribe button? And oh, you hit that bell notification button. You can be notified of our future episodes. We air episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's right, we're back to airing 3 episodes a week. And of course, this all is possible because of your support. So thank you for tuning in, watching, listening, and sharing this content. And with that, let's dive into this case. Kenya Monet was born on January 26, 1993 in Honduras and moved to Aurora, Colorado with her family when she was a child. She was the oldest of 4 siblings and took her role as a big sister seriously, often acting as a second mother to her younger brothers and sisters. Her parents, Maria Lee and Tony Lee, described her as the heart of their family, always full of life, laughter, and love. Her close-knit family was her anchor, and she was deeply cherished by all. Kenya was a senior at Overland High School and had aspirations, of pursuing a career in business and fashion. She was a creative and ambitious young woman with a keen sense of style and a natural talent for leadership. Her dream was to attend college and eventually start her own fashion line, combining her love for design with her entrepreneurial spirit. Friends often spoke of her infectious enthusiasm and her ability to inspire those around her to dream big. In her free time, Kenya enjoyed dancing, spending time with her friends, and being involved in her community. She was known for her outgoing personality and ability to make friends easily. Her social circle was diverse, and she was often the one to organize gatherings and outings, always bringing people together with her warm and welcome nature. Kenya's ability to connect with others made her a beloved figure in her community, and her disappearance would later leave a profound void. On the night of April 1st, 2011, Kenya went out with a group of friends to enjoy a night of dancing at a popular club in downtown Denver. The evening started with excitement and fun as Kenya and her friends moved from place to place, reveling in the vibrant nightlife. However, as the night progressed, Kenya became separated from her friends, a common occurrence in crowded venues, but one that would prove to be significant. Around 1 a.m., Kenya was last seen at the 24K Lounge, a club located on the bustling Larimer Street. Witnesses reported seeing her leave the club, possibly disoriented and without her belongings, including her cell phone and purse. This crucial detail suggested she might have been trying to locate her friends or find a way home. Shortly after leaving the club, Kenya encountered Travis Forbes, a stranger who offered her assistance. Surveillance footage captured the two at a nearby gas station, where Forbes purchased a pack of cigarettes before leading Kenya to his van. The footage showed Kenya appearing to go with him willingly, likely under the impression that he was genuinely trying to help. This interaction was the last confirmed sighting of Kenya Monet. Despite the chaotic circumstances, it was the seemingly ordinary nature of this encounter that underscored the true danger she faced. Forbes' ability to present himself as a harmless Good Samaritan masked his predatory intentions, setting the stage for the tragic events that followed. As the night wore on and Kenya did not return home, her family's concern grew into panic. They immediately began reaching out to her friends, attempting to piece together her last known whereabouts. When it became apparent that Kenya was missing, they contacted the Denver Police Department, initiating a search that would captivate and devastate the community. In the days following her disappearance, Kenya's family, friends, and community members organized search efforts, held vigils, and distributed flyers in the hopes of finding her. The outpouring of support reflected the love and concern for Kenya, highlighting her impact on those around her and the urgent need to bring her home. When Kenya Monet did not return home on the morning of April 2nd, 2011. Her family was immediately alarmed. Her mother, Maria, and stepfather, Tony, knew her as someone who was responsible and always kept them informed about her plans. Her sudden disappearance without any communication was completely out of character, leading to an overwhelming sense of dread. As the hours passed with no word from Kenya, her family began taking proactive steps to locate her. They started by contacting her friends, hoping to retrace her steps from the previous night. It soon became clear that Kenya had last been seen leaving the club and had been separated from her group, raising immediate concerns about her safety. The family's desperation was compounded by a text message sent from Kenya's phone to her mother, which stated that she was going to a friend's house. This message was out of character and did not align with Kenya's usual behavior, further heightening their fear that something was terribly wrong. Realizing the urgency of the situation, the parents quickly filed a missing persons report with the Denver Police Department. They also began organizing search efforts, rallying the community to help find their daughter. Flyers were distributed throughout the city. Social media was leveraged to spread the word about Kenya's disappearance. Kenya's family made emotional pleas to the public, appearing on local news channels to appeal for information and assistance in finding her. Their unwavering determination to bring Kenya home was evident in their tireless efforts, and their distress resonated with the community. The Denver Police Department responded swiftly to the missing persons report, launching an investigation into Kenya's disappearance. Detectives began by gathering information from Kenya's family and friends to piece together her last known movements. They conducted interviews with those who had been with her on the night she disappeared, seeking any clues or insights into her whereabouts. One of the initial challenges faced by law enforcement was the lack of concrete evidence pointing to a specific suspect or location. Kenya's disappearance did not initially present clear signs of foul play, which complicated the investigation. The misleading text message added to the confusion, leaving investigators to question whether Kenya had voluntarily left the area or had been coerced. Surveillance footage from the nightclub and surrounding areas became a crucial component of the investigation. Detectives meticulously reviewed the footage, identifying Kenya's interactions and tracking her movements as she left the club. This process led to the discovery of the footage showing Kenya at the gas station with Travis Forbes, marking him as a person of interest. Despite these developments, the investigation faced significant obstacles, including the need to balance public interest with maintaining the integrity of the investigation. Detectives had to carefully navigate the influx of tips and leads, discerning credible information from speculation. The police also reached out to the public for assistance, urging anyone with information about Kenya's disappearance or Forbes' whereabouts to come forward. This call to action resulted in a steady stream of tips, which detectives diligently followed up on in hopes of finding a breakthrough. As days turned into weeks, the urgency of the investigation intensified. Kenya's family remained actively involved, maintaining pressure on the authorities and the community to keep the search for Kenya alive. The collaborative efforts of law enforcement and the public were critical in driving the investigation forward, setting the stage for the eventual breakthroughs that would bring clarity to the case. Travis Forbes was a man who presented himself as a charming and seemingly well-adjusted individual. At the time of Kenya's disappearance, Forbes was known in Denver as an entrepreneur operating a small business selling granola bars. His business required him to make frequent deliveries across the city, giving him an opportunity to move around undetected and meet various people without drawing suspicion. Despite his outward appearance of normalcy, Forbes had a history of criminal behavior that hinted at his dark tendencies. His criminal record included offenses like theft and burglary, which were largely overlooked as minor or nonviolent. However, these activities suggested a pattern of deceit and manipulation that foreshadowed his capacity for more sinister actions. Forbes was adept at masking his true nature, using his charm and charisma to gain the trust of those around him. He was skilled at identifying vulnerable individuals whom he could manipulate and exploit to serve his purposes. This ability to present himself as a helpful and non-threatening figure allowed him to operate beneath the radar, evading detection and suspicion, even as he engaged in increasingly dangerous behavior. On the night of Kenya's disappearance, Travis used his charm and manipulative skills to approach her under the guise of offering assistance. Kenya was vulnerable, having become separated from her friends after leaving the nightclub. Forbes capitalized on this moment, approaching her with an offer of help and a ride home. Surveillance footage captured their interaction at a nearby gas station, where Forbes further... Forbes further ingratiated himself by purchasing cigarettes and offering Kenya what appeared to be a friendly and safe option for getting home. The footage showed Kenya leaving with Forbes voluntarily, suggesting she felt secure enough to trust him. Forbes' tactics were calculated and deliberate. He relied on his ability to appear trustworthy and genuine, creating a false sense of security for Kenya. This manipulation was a key aspect of his predatory behavior, allowing him to isolate Kenya and put her into a vulnerable position. In hindsight, there were several red flags in Forbes' behavior that, if recognized, might have prevented the tragedy. His criminal record, while not initially alarming, suggested a pattern of escalating behavior that warranted closer scrutiny. Additionally, his ability to charm and manipulate people was a significant indicator of his potential for harm. The societal tendency to trust strangers and the reluctance to question seemingly benign behavior enabled Forbes to continue his activities undetected. In many cases, the warning signs of predatory behavior are subtle and easily overlooked, especially when masked by charisma and social skills. A lack of communication and coordination between different jurisdictions also played a role in allowing Forbes to remain under the radar. Gaps in information sharing and background checks meant that his history and pattern were not fully understood by law enforcement, limiting their ability to connect the dots and identify him as a potential threat. Society's responsibility to recognize and address such behaviors is crucial in preventing future incidents. By fostering environments where individuals feel empowered to report suspicious behavior, and by improving information sharing between agencies, we can create a more vigilant and proactive approach to identifying and stopping predators like Forbes before they can use harm, or before they can and cause harm. And now we're going to take a look at some of the breakthroughs in the case. Starting off with some of the key evidence, the investigation into Kenya Monet's disappearance reached a turning point as law enforcement meticulously pieced together evidence that shed light on the mysteries surrounding her fate. The breakthrough moments in the case were the result of determined detective work and the relentless pursuit of justice by Kenya's family and community. A significant piece of evidence came from the surveillance footage at the gas station, which captured Kenya's interaction with Travis. This footage was crucial in identifying Forbes as the last known person to see Kenya alive, making him a primary suspect. The visual evidence of Kenya willingly getting into Forbes' van raised immediate suspicions about his intentions and involvement. Investigators then focused on tracking Forbes' movements on the night of Kenya's disappearance. They discovered that he had rented a storage unit shortly after the event, which raised further suspicions. A search of this unit revealed critical forensic evidence that linked Forbes to Kenya. Among the evidence found were traces of blood, which, through DNA analysis, were confirmed to be Kenya's, establishing a direct connection to Forbes. In addition to the forensic evidence, the discovery of Kenya's phone records provided further insight into the timeline of events. The records show activity on Kenya's phone after her disappearance, leading to investigators to conclude that Forbes had used her phone to send misleading messages, further implicating him in the crime. The Denver Police Department worked tirelessly to reconstruct the timeline of Kenya's disappearance, using a combination of technological tools, witness interviews, and evidence analysis. By mapping out Forbes' known locations and movements on the night of Kenya's disappearance, they were able to establish a sequence of events that pointed to his culpability. Detectives used cell phone tower data to track the moments of both Kenya and Forbes' phones, revealing patterns that aligned with Forbes' known whereabouts. This technology allowed them to pinpoint crucial moments in the timeline, such as when Forbes had driven Kenya away from the gas station and when her phone was used to send the misleading text messages. Witness testimonies played a vital role in the investigation, providing essential leads and corroborating the evidence gathered by law enforcement. Several individuals came forward with information about Forbes' behavior and actions on the night of Kenya's disappearance, helping to build a more comprehensive picture of the event. One of the most compelling testimonies came from Lydia Tillman, who had survived a brutal attack by Forbes. Lydia's courageous account not only provided a direct link to Forbes, but also highlighted his violent tendencies and established a pattern of predatory behavior. Her testimony was instrumental in demonstrating Forbes' capacity for violence and his modus operandi. The willingness of witnesses to come forward and share their experiences was crucial in advancing the investigation. Their testimonies added a human element to the case, reinforcing the seriousness of Forbes' actions and helping to ensure that justice was served. The combination of key evidence, technological analysis, and witness testimonies formed a compelling case against Travis. These breakthroughs were the culmination of exhaustive detective work and community involvement, ultimately leading to the arrest and conviction of Forbes and bringing justice to Kenya Monet. And before we move on, we'd like to highlight our affiliate sponsor of the episode, and that is VidAngel. As a true crime fan, I love diving into the mysteries and suspense of my favorite shows and documentaries. But sometimes I want to enjoy the thrill without worrying about unexpected content. And that's where VidAngel comes in. With VidAngel, I can customize my viewing experience to match my comfort level, whether it's filtering out excessive violence, language, or other elements. VidAngel lets me decide what I want to see or skip. This means I can enjoy all the twists and turns of true crime stories while staying in control. The platform is super easy to use, allowing me to quickly set my preferences before hitting play. Plus, with a vast library of movies and shows, there's always something new to explore. VidAngel gives me the freedom to watch my favorite shows and movies without the worry. If you're a fan like me, give VidAngel a try and see how it enhances your viewing experience. Use the link in the description to start your free trial today. And now let's get back to our episode. The investigation into Kenya Monet's disappearance was fraught with challenges and dead ends, but a series of crucial turning points eventually led to the truth being uncovered. Dedication and persistence of the investigators, combined with advancements in forensic technology and the bravery of key witnesses, played a vital role in unraveling the case. With the mounting evidence against him, law enforcement officers moved quickly to arrest Travis Forbes. The arrest was carefully coordinated, as Forbes was known to be dangerous and unpredictable. Detectives took him into custody without incident, ensuring that he could not evade justice or harm anyone else. During his interrogation, Forbes initially denied any involvement in Kenya's disappearance. However, confronted with the overwhelming evidence, including the forensic links and witness testimonies, he eventually confessed to the crime. Forbes' confession was chilling and revealed the calculated nature of his actions. He admitted to luring Kenya into his van under the guise of offering help, then driving her to a remote location where he took her life. His confession detailed the premeditated nature of the crime and his attempts to cover his tracks, including the use of Kenya's phone to send misleading texts and the cleaning of his van to remove any evidence. Forbes' admission of guilt provided the final piece of the puzzle, confirming the suspicions of law enforcement and bringing a sense of closure to the investigation. The confession validated the relentless efforts of detectives and the bravery of witnesses who came forward to ensure justice was served. The arrest and confession of Travis Forbes marked the culmination of a complex and challenging investigation. It underscored the importance of persistence, collaboration, and the use of advanced forensic techniques in solving cases of this nature. The resolution of Kenya Monet's case brought justice for her family and community, highlighting the power of truth in overcoming darkness. The trial of Travis Forbes for the murder of Kenya Monet was a highly anticipated event, drawing significant public and media attention. Proceedings unfolded in a courtroom filled with emotion and tension. Kenya's family and the community sought justice for the tragic loss of a young life. The prosecution's case against Forbes was meticulously crafted, presenting a compelling narrative of premeditated murder. Prosecutors relied heavily on the extensive evidence gathered during the investigation, including forensic evidence, surveillance footage, and Forbes' own confession. They aimed to demonstrate that Forbes had not only committed the crime, but had also taken deliberate steps to cover it up. Key elements of the prosecution strategy included forensic evidence, surveillance footage, witness testimonies, and, of course, Forbes' confession. The defense faced significant challenges, given the strength of the evidence against Forbes. Their strategy focused on casting doubt on the prosecution's narrative and questioning the reliability of some of the evidence. They attempted to argue that Forbes' actions were not premeditated and sought to mitigate the severity of the charges. However, the defense struggled to present a convincing case in light of Forbes' confession and the overwhelming evidence. Throughout the trial, several key moments captured the attention of the court, including emotional testimonies from family members about the impact of her loss, bringing the human toll of the crime to the forefront of the proceedings. And of course, you had Lydia Tillman's testimony. She recounted her harrowing experience with Forbes, drawing parallels to Kenya's case and reinforcing the prosecution's argument. And then you had forensic experts explaining the significance of the DNA evidence and the methods used to link Forbes to the crime, adding credibility to the prosecution's case. The jury deliberated carefully, considering the extensive evidence and powerful testimonies presented during the trial. Ultimately, they found Travis Forbes guilty of the murder of Kenya Monet, a verdict that was met with a mixture of relief and sorrow by Kenya's family and the community. The judge sentenced Forbes to life in prison without the possibility of parole, a decision that reflected the severity of his actions and the premeditated nature of the crime. This sentence ensured that Forbes would remain behind bars, unable to harm anyone else. The outcome of the trial was widely perceived as a just resolution to the tragedy, providing a sense of closure for Kenya's family and reaffirming the community's faith in the legal system. Many felt that the verdict and sentencing appropriately reflected the gravity of the crime and served as a deterrent to similar actions in the future. While the verdict brought a measure of justice, it also served as a poignant reminder of the devastating loss of a young life. Kenya's family expressed their gratitude to the legal team, law enforcement, and the community for their unwavering support throughout the ordeal. They remain committed to honoring Kenya's memory and using the experience to advocate for greater awareness and prevention of violence against women. And now we're going to dive into some of the lessons learned. Starting off with safety and awareness. The tragic case of Kenya Monet underscores several important lessons about personal safety and awareness, highlighting the need for vigilance and proactive measures to protect oneself and others. Of course, right off the bat, you got to trust your instincts. And number two, communication and check-ins. Maintain open communication with friends and families, especially when you go out. And third, be aware of your surroundings and the people you can help identify potential threats. Number four, safety in numbers. Whenever possible, travel in groups, particularly at night or in unfamiliar areas. There's safety in numbers, and having a group can deter potential predators from targeting individuals. And of course, education and preparedness. Communities can play a crucial role in promoting safety through education and preparedness. The case of Kenya Monet also highlights the broader societal responsibilities in preventing tragedies and addressing predatory behavior. So, number one, recognizing warning signs. Society must prioritize recognizing and addressing warning signs of predatory behavior. And number two, encourage reporting of suspicious behavior. Number three, strengthen systems and communication. Enhancing communication and coordination between law enforcement agencies is critical in identifying and tracking potential threats. Number four, provide comprehensive support for survivors of violence and their families. And number five, advocacy and policy change. By learning from the past and taking proactive measures, both individuals and society can work towards creating a safer and more aware environment. The lessons from Kenya Monet's case serve as a reminder of the collective responsibility to protect one another and prevent similar tragedies in the future. As we move forward, let us honor Kenya's memory by remaining vigilant and proactive in protecting ourselves and those around us. Let us continue to advocate for change, support survivors, and build communities where everyone feels safe and valued. By learning from the past and working together, we can create a future where stories like Kenya's become a thing of the past. Let me know your thoughts on this case in the comment section below. And of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below. Press the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, If you like our content, consider becoming a supporter. Go to buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. Your support can help the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, and hopefully one day take this show on the road. We'd love to do live episodes from major crime scenes from the past or present across the country. And your support can help make that happen. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/True Crime Never Sleeps.